There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
Quite a lot, as it turns out.
Yeah, we're heading to the deep blue for this first story, and it is a sad one. Plastic in the ocean is set to triple by 2025. What?
The Future of the Sea report have come out with this. It's awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really sad news. They found that more than 70% of marine litter is plastic, and there is extensive evidence that entanglement in or ingestion of plastics can cause injury and death to a wide range of marine organisms. The total amount of plastic debris in the ocean is forecast to rise from 50 million tonnes, which is bad enough as it is, that was in 2015, to 150 million tonnes by 2025.
Ooh, threefold jump. So we hit Dubai streets to find out if plastic use is on the minds of the folks who are living here.
Yeah, I'm actually very surprised because I just moved here like a month ago, and like I've moved from Europe and it's such a waste in here. So they give you plastic bags for everything. I started to use them as a, you know, for garbage.
Very aware that here there really isn't much action going on. I think most of the rest of the world seems to be ahead of it. I'm not doing enough, I'm very aware of that. One particular thing I hate, however, is plastic straws. And I'm not a child, so I don't need one.
No, I'm not really doing that much. I used to live in the UK, so I used to be very conscious of my recycling. And I always get really shout at my roommates for not putting milk cartons in the wrong bin.
Okay.
But here, there's no real anything, so I've just sort of fallen back into being bad at it.
Actually, this is a good thing to save the environment. I believe that I'm trying to do this by not using plastic bags whenever we buy small things, because sometimes you buy some small items with no need to keep them in a plastic bag. So I always try to reject to get this plastic bag.
Is it on your mind, Mark Lloyd, the use of plastic?
So it's funny you came up with this topic today, because usually my wife goes shopping on her own. She doesn't like me around. She thinks that it's just, you know, distracting when I'm around. But last night I actually went with her. And, you know, when we get to the checkout, it's my turn. Then I come into action and pay. And I was just watching the number of plastic bags that were going into our trolley. There must have been like 20 plastic bags. And I thought when I got home, yeah, it's starting to hit home with me now. And the other thing is, she makes me a fruit drink every day before I come to work, try and keep me healthy. And she always gives me a plastic straw. So, you know, I'll have to slap around the chops and say, no more straws, please.
Is it something that's on your mind? Are you consciously doing anything to cut back on the amount of plastic that you use? Affordable01, love to hear from you on that. And there's a list in the Times today of the top 20 countries that deposit the most waste plastic in the ocean per year. This is in million tonnes. It's a top 20 list that you wouldn't want to be in, isn't it?
Definitely not. So are you surprised to hear who's in the top five?
At number five, Sri Lanka.
Yeah, and they've got such beautiful oceans there, haven't they? I wouldn't have guessed that one. Vietnam at four.
The Philippines at number three, which is really sad.
Yeah, it is a sad one. Indonesia coming in at two.
And China at number one, which is not too surprising. But I was in Thailand recently, and it was awful. Like, going to these little secluded beaches, and there's just loads of rubbish washed up.
Really?
Yeah.
Nobody's picking it up.
No one's picking it up.
Oh, it's all washed up from the sea.
Yeah. Really, really sad to see. Some of the things you can do right now if you want to help, if you are using face wash with microbeads in, you can stop doing that. Next time you get a drink and you're offered a plastic straw, you can say, no thanks, like that bloke. Yeah. I'm not a kid.
Don't give me a straw.
No, thank you. And if you're not already, you can start taking reusable shopping bags to the supermarket with you.
Yeah, can we get them here? Just any bag?
Yeah, I normally take a rucksack, to be honest.
Do you?
Yeah.
And stick it all in there. Mm. Good for you.
If you've got any other simple ideas, we would love to hear them today too. You can get in touch on Affordable01, or you can use the 100% plastic-free Dubai Eye app. That is guaranteed.
So, where are we going for our next story?
All the way to a very expensive private girls' school in the UK. And we're going there, Mark, for some advice from the head, who's called Mrs. Victoria Bingham.
Hello, Victoria Bingham. I'm the headmistress. Now, this is advice is for women, and it's something to keep in mind next time you travel.
Yeah, Mrs. Bingham says that women infantilise their husbands and partners by leaving lists of instructions on household chores instead of trusting them to run the house when they're away. And I've got friends who do this. Mark, are you trusted to run the house when your wife goes away, or does she leave you notes?
Yeah, no, I don't get notes. What I get is a real, shouting at when she comes back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for not having clean surfaces and done certain things.
Well, Mrs. Bingham says it's adding to the myth of male domestic ineptitude, and she's urged women to loosen their grip on the household. And this is to prove to their daughters that they don't have to care too much about domestic matters when they grow up.
Yeah, she says that even if fathers are shouldering their fair share of chores, it seems that many women of this generation still carry the mental load and believe if they didn't, the household would fall apart. What kind of blueprints are some of us providing for our daughters by infantilising men?
She warned extreme multitasking, which we all do, had become a point of feminine pride, and busyness is like a badge of professional and maternal honour. The head, she's married, she's got a 9-year-old daughter herself, so she's even been told by female friends that, get this, she was brave and had her husband well trained when her friends found out that she'd asked him to organise the child's birthday party.
It's funny.
Why shouldn't he?
Funny about that, I always did our children's birthday parties when they were growing up. That was my department, so I can stick my hand up for that. Now, at a recent assembly, she said, and she advised girls not to bother trying to please everyone all the time. There was not an excuse to become slow, but rather to identify when they need to nail it and when they can cut corners and when to let other things go.
Yeah, really good. So remember that piece of advice for next time you travel, ladies. No notes for your daughter's sake. And if you're flying anytime soon, don't go anywhere. Scientists have said you are 80% more likely to catch the flu if you sit in a certain place on the plane. Got news for you next on that.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
Well, you missed us talking about the oceans, that they are going to be three times as polluted as they already are by 2025, which is disgusting. So we give you a few tips.
Yeah.
One of them was get rid of straws. And I had a text on 4001 about the straws. It says, you need a straw. Rats are running around in factories and warehouses. There's so much dirt on the top of soft drink cans. Staff with dirty hands are handling them. And if you pour it into a glass, you've got staff with dirty hands handling the glasses and probably not washed properly. I won't be giving up my straws anytime soon. I would say if you're that worried about germs, maybe get a straw that you can reuse.
Yeah. That you can carry around, your own private personal straw.
Because if I was that worried about cans, I'd probably be worried about where the straws had been as well.
We had a message from Warren as well. My pet peeve is wrapping fruit like bananas in plastic. Really, is that what the world has come to?
Gutted. Someone sent me a link to a video of some container ships in Karachi port yesterday, because this is the ship that all my stuff's on.
Oh, yeah, you might be able to spot your... yours hasn't fell off. Think positive.
Think positive.
Yeah, that's not your sofa bobbing around in the ocean.
Yeah. Now, looking at more stories that are going on today, have you ever sat next to someone on a flight, Mark, who's sneezing and thought, great, I can't avoid these germs, I'm trapped here, I'm going to get it?
Yeah, loads and loads of times. Often it's next to me, you know, and you think, oh no, please, I don't want to be sick where I'm going on my holidays.
Especially if you're going on holiday and not coming back.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just the person next to you that you need to be worried about. Air passengers sitting within two rows of a person suffering from the flu have got 80% chance of picking up the infection, scientists estimate.
Yeah, now researchers from Emory University and the Georgia Institute of Technology in Atlanta track the movements of passengers and cabin crew on 10 long-haul flights across the US to determine how one flu-ridden individual might spread their illness around the aisles.
Ooh, nasty. When they carried out a computer simulation based on their data about how the people on the flights moved around, they concluded that the two seats either side of the passenger with flu carried the highest risk, closely followed by the three seats in the two rows behind and in front of the patient.
Oh dear. Now, this is because viruses tend to be transmitted through small droplets of respiratory fluid that are propelled a few feet through the air when we sneeze. That wasn't you, was it?
No, I'm fine. Don't worry, Mark, you'll be okay. That means that people sitting more than 3 feet away from the infected passenger are unlikely to be infected unless the virus carrier gets up and walks around whilst they're sneezing, that is.
Yeah, now the study concluded that airline staff should not be permitted to fly if they were ill, since the model showed that an infected air steward or stewardess could be expected to pass the illness on to an average of 4.6 passengers.
Now, there were a few comments on this story when it broke this morning, and the cup for best comment goes to a man called David Jones, who says, "Personally, I would have guessed that those sitting furthest away would have faced the highest risk. We live to learn."
Yeah.
Love a bit of sarcasm.
We do, don't we? Yeah.
Fantastic stuff.
I like that.
That's for David Jones, that round of applause.
Yeah, good stuff. Right, now we're heading to Thailand next. In other airline news, Thai Airways has come up with a plan to install seatbelt airbags on business class cabins on its new Dreamliner jets.
Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Airbags on an airplane. I suppose it's a good thing, isn't it?
It's both, actually. It's good news if you're a nervous flyer, because right. Then you've got more peace of mind that you've got a little airbag there. But it's bad news for people if they're carrying a bit of extra weight around their waists, because they're not going to fit at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, are they chunky, these airbags, then?
Yeah, passengers with a waistline of more than 56 inches won't be able to fasten the new seatbelt airbags in a way that meets safety standards. They might be able to get it fastened, but not, you know.
Yeah.
This is according to the Bangkok Post. And the new airbags are also going to make it really difficult if people are flying with young children, who now they'll be forced into economy class because they won't be able to get the kids on their laps and get the belt around them.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I don't understand what they're for.
Don't get it, no.
It's an odd move, isn't it?
Yeah. Thai Airways fitted the new seatbelt airbags on business class seats on its Dreamliner 787-9 fleet. The airline added two new Dreamliners to its fleet in September.
So there you go. That's news on Thai Airways. Finally, there is a travel company called Off The Grid that we want to tell you about today. I really like this and Mark's going to hate it. They offer group trips with itineraries, lodging and daily breakfast included. Here's the twist. No phones are allowed on the trip.
No, I'm not going for that.
You don't like it?
No. Just 37% of travellers unplug completely when taking time off. A study from Alamo Rent-A-Car found that is a significant drop from 53% that unplugged in 2017.
And more than half of us say that we put pressure on ourselves to work when we're on holiday. That's why we're not unplugging.
Yeah.
We did a little survey ourselves on this today and asked people, do you put pressure on yourself to do your work when you're on your holidays?
Yeah, well, it happened before. It happened before many times. When you travel for a long time, you have an urge that, oh, I need to check what's going on. Is everything is okay? Yeah, that always happens. Really, I'm just too, controlling. I need to make sure I am in the know.
Sometimes, if I have some issues not finished.
If my boss asks me to do so, I have to do that. But I don't like it at all.
Well, when I get the chance to go on holiday, it normally does end up with a bit of work and holiday at the same time. Emails and operations, you can never not reply or check your emails in case you're missing something or something important's come up. So,
yeah, constantly, can't get away from it. Pressure of the job, making sure you're in touch, getting things done and just not losing your contacts.
No. Because I don't give a damn anymore.
No, not really. Because it's vacation. The internet is off, the email is off. So if something happens, sorry, I'm on vacation.
Yeah, the same thing. Like, I mean, if I love my job that much, maybe. Maybe. But no, vacation's vacation.
Did you dig deeper with that guy who went, no, I don't give a damn anymore?
Well, I'll tell you a little secret on that one. He said a word that we couldn't actually broadcast for, so I had to say, can we re-record that again, please?
Sanjay's been on 4001, says, I do check my emails once a day when I'm in the hotel on my holidays. That's awful, innit? I hate that people feel the pressure that they have to do that.
Yeah.
But this trend of us putting pressure on ourselves to work on holiday comes despite numerous studies. We've talked about them on this show. I'm sure you've seen them. They show that tech is ruining the way that we communicate and the way that we relax with people.
Yeah, some hotels are now charging extra for helping you to unplug. For instance, the Mandarin Oriental in New York lets luxury hostel guests check their phones in for an unplugged retreat, during which they take classes in mindful journaling and meditation.
Can't see yourself doing this at all?
Not yet. I don't know. I'll never say never, though.
The phones, if you do check it in at this hotel, the Mandarin Oriental in New York, they will polish the phone and they'll return it to you after your digital detox. So you get a nice shiny phone back to use again afterwards.
All right, that's a bit of a bonus.
I meditated for the first time this morning with this new app that I've got called Headspace, Mark.
Okay.
This is after chatting to an artist who was in the studio yesterday. You might have heard him, actually.
He was amazing,
3:30.
Wasn't he? Yeah.
He meditates every day, every single morning, has done for the last 20 years. And when he came in, wasn't there just this...
calmness.
This aura of calm.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But you need to hear that conversation, by the way, on our podcast about i1038.com. Yeah, it was totally relaxing.
So I downloaded this app called Headspace and did it this morning. 3 minutes is what you start with. And I do feel quite calm today, considering the stuff that's happened.
Well, you said you were in a really bad mood just before we started the show.
Only because of that email about
my stuff. Because of the containers,
maybe
yeah.
falling off a container ship.
I can understand that.
So this company who are offering unplugged trips, they're called Off the Grid, and their co-founder, Zach Beatty, he's called, he says when guests arrive, what happens is they all unplug together. So they turn off their phones, and by doing that, they set an intention before they put them away in a cloth pouch for the duration of the 10-day trip, so you got 10 days without it. But then they get a dumb phone, which is the first phone that I ever had in my life. It's a Motorola. It's got no internet access. And it only makes and receives calls. It's okay. Got emergency numbers, you know, for people who go, well, yeah. What if someone needs to contact me?
Yeah.
They're in there, pre-programmed. You get a notebook and you get a disposable camera. So you can still take photographs of things. You're not going to miss out.
That is absolutely unbelievable. Now, in the survey we were talking about earlier, done by Alamo Rent-A-Car, 16% of people said they could never unplug from social media during a holiday, and 43% said that they wish they could.
43%, that's a high number.
It is. Off the Grid has only just launched. 3 trips that you can ditch your phone on so far, Lisbon in Portugal, Prague, and also Croatia.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.